that switched it.
We've got, I want to talk a little bit more about this word cumbereth, render useless. I think we studied it yesterday, but I want to talk about it a little bit more. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power or efficacy of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. They're better translated, being perfected. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught. Now, came to naught means that the wisdom of this world has been rendered useless by the revelation of Christ. That means every value system that man has been rendered useless. Now, that's mind-bending to me. The only thing that's left that hasn't been rendered useless is faith. Now that is the message that we are to be, that we might bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, not in our just ourselves, but in those in our lives. But your life has to testify that the esteemed things of the world have been rendered useless. Now, that's a biggie. Any response?
I was looking at the part where it says your faith stands in the power of God. I've never looked at it that way.
Well, it's the word that means efficacy. And it's the tried, it's because He is the way. And it's the only thing that hasn't been rendered useless. But He, again, His humility is so great, He won't occupy where you are. Whenever you bring yourself back into the picture, He takes the lowest seat. And finally, you end up putting Him in prison. That's why we must ever and always bring forth fruit, first in ourselves, necessary for repentance, then in those around us. Amen?
So that I'm clear, I believe the fruit is the fruit of idolatry. Our idols are things we worship. It's the fruit we're bringing forth for repentance. Turning from, dying to.
Well, that's not what it means, but it's...
What does it exactly mean? If it means that, I'm not bringing forth good fruits.
No, the only fruit that you bring forth is the recognition that everything and every system in the universe and world is vanity, of vanity. All is vanity. All is empty.
That's manifested in idols.
Well, it's manifested in many, many things. What are you doing, Gary? You're musing.
I was just thinking, I think what he said is true. It does manifest in your idolatry.
Well, that's of course, but that's just one of many things.
Right, but that's one of them. So you said no to
fruit necessary for repentance. Until then, it's just, you know, it's just junk, but you still think it has value until you finally repent of it.
That's the point, the fruit.
The fruit is the repentance, not the thing you do that needs repenting of. I don't know. Ask Goldie.
Well, let's go to Romans. I mean, to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. Remember, we're at this here, and we're at the scene of John's baptizing. It's during the days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The 10 days of awe were the days in which Israel had been baptizing for probably several hundred years, probably from the time of Ezra. Their understanding of baptism was, it was one of the mikvahs, it was just a washing. And so that's why John's baptism was so mind-bending. Because in his baptism, it wasn't a washing, it was a burial. And it first had to be, as you know, it had to testify that it was no longer you were doing sin, you were sin. And so they had to, those that had considered themselves guaranteed for heaven or for the kingdom of God simply by their birthright, or in our case, simply by accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, they had to walk to the other side of the Jordan, confessing with their own physicality that they weren't worthy to enter the kingdom of God. And they came across and were baptized, were buried in the Red Sea. I mean, in the Jordan. And then that thing we talk about, what we do, where we turn, and then you come forth in the newness of life. Now you're no longer a vessel of wrath, but a vessel of mercy. Now, that is the baptism of repentance. And that's why you bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, so that everything about you that's still alive, everything that you haven't seen was emptiness and futile, is buried. Now that then comes, that remembrance, that not just words, but this whole physicality that they didn't do sin, they were sin, then became the meaning of the baptism of repentance. That's why he says, bring forth fruit. Well, I'll just read it, what it says. In verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. But when the many of the Pharisees and Sadducees came to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, O sons of the snake, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruit, meat, or suitable for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, God is our father, or Abraham is our father. You can put the same words here now. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Say not even, you know, that, well, I've once saved, always saved. I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. He's able to raise up stones that confess Jesus as their personal Savior. That's not the issue. The issue is your death, his life. And your death has to be complete. So there's no more you. It's not, and the reason I said no, it's not idolatry. That can keep you alive. You can still say have idols, but you're still alive with the idols. You can say and confess that the I have idolatry, but you're still alive. That's why I said no. It's the bringing forth fruit necessary for true repentance, or suitable for repentance, is death. No more you, no more mind, no more thinking about it, only action. There's only being, no more trying to be.
I perceive that the Sadducees and the Pharisees came there as kind of a check the box thing.
I don't think so. But well, they had a few of them there that were doing that, but they came for baptism, probably, but they wouldn't confess, they wouldn't walk across the Jordan.
Well, but I mean by, in the same way that keeping the law became a reason for righteousness and not a reason for repentance.
Well, nobody could keep the law.
That's the point. I mean, if you come down to just check the box, I mean, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm trying to keep the law. I've, made the appropriate sacrifice or whatever. Now I've come down and been baptized by John. It's just kind of, it doesn't have anything real to do. It's just something to get done.
Well, remember, all of the, since Abel, the sacrifices and everything else revealed Jesus Christ. And so Abraham saw, Ezekiel saw, Daniel saw, Malachi saw. And so that's, everything is about what you see.
And that's part of what bringing forth fruit is. How you bring it forth, I guess, is however that happens. But bring it forth so you can see the utility that your life has engaged in by whatever, maybe worshiping idols and other things.
Yeah, but the fruit suitable is what it means. It's translated there, but it means fruit suitable for repentance. That means fruit that reveals true repentance is your death. It isn't part of you, it's your death. That's what that scripture means. I think, and that's what I've been, it's proved to be in that by all the other scriptures in Romans and elsewhere, that baptism is your death. So if baptism, this become another ridiculous cliche, but if you weren't buried in baptism, you didn't get baptized, you just got wet. And each year, the first century church, as far as I can see from many references, they baptized on Pentecost. That's why we, the Christians, didn't baptize after the Jesus. They on the days of awe anymore, they baptized on Pentecost. But my point is, if you can talk about, well, repentance means this or that, but to bring forth fruit suitable for repentance, the only suitable fruit to be brought forth for repentance is your death. But it's not a little piece of you or a...
So then the fruit essentially would be bringing forth the awareness that everything about you is sin.
Right.
And that's the fruit. And you don't have to dissect it and look at its parts. Overall, it's just...
Right. That's what death is, the sin. That's the fruit necessary for repentance.
Yeah. Or sin is the fruit, right? Or the concept of you being sin.
No, but again, the fruit necessary for repentance is your death.
Death isn't a fruit, is it?
Well, I I think it is. It's a fruit of seeing that the vanity and emptiness of everything, that then you, your only hope is your death.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, you're putting...
That's the fruit of the cross. That's the fruit of the preaching of the cross, is your death.
Yeah.
It isn't anything else. It isn't some rule about how to do this or that. It's to show that no part of you can stay alive.
Like you always said, we were born of sin. Or, no, wait, I don't want to put words. We are sin because of the fall. And what we do, we sin. I sin daily.
So you trespass daily. You are sin.
I think of the intrinsic nature of sin. And then I guess I think of how daily I transgress. Rebel. I guess I don't stay baptized. Maybe I don't do it every day. Every other day.
Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Do what?
1 John? I tell him how about every minute.
1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins. In him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So, I mean, it's black and white. You have to die. That's the only way that this can be true. But you don't die a little bit. You don't keep part of you alive. You don't. That's why whatsoever is not of faith is sin, because otherwise you sit and play in your mind and, oh, I'm thinking about stuff. And no, you just act, you be. The mind has to die so it no longer has any importance to you. So you only have the mind of Christ, which is total emptiness. Now that's when you're not, it's either total emptiness or you're in sin. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. You're not getting better. You're not learning anything. Amen?
I don't want to keep bringing I me into it. Well, so be it. I don't want to keep making the same mistakes over and over and over and over.
here's
expectations or frustrations with me or people around me.
Okay, listen carefully.
It's all shit.
Listen carefully. Then you have to stop using your mind. Because your mind cannot improve. It's always going to be that son of a bitch that it is. That son of the whore. So as long as you're using your mind, that you can't. All you can do is act better. If you're using your mind for anything, you can't use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. You should have seen by now that the fruit of your mind is not something that has any merit. Now, if you think it does, that's fine. I don't care.
There, the fruit of the mind, it sounds like idolatry, not the death of the mind, as you were saying earlier.
I'm just saying that
definition of fruit.
Yeah, I'm just saying that if you're using your mind and running on thinking about this and thinking about that and, oh, I got to do this, and then that's everything about the mind. All of the things that you say you don't want will be brought back up automatically because you've resurrected the evil one from his deadly head wound.
And I've always thought of, I'm being stubborn, but the fruit has a connotation of sweet. Sweet thoughts, sweet actions. And I'm deceived to think that I have sweet thoughts and sweet actions.
So you can have instead of a good ideas folder, you can have a sweet thought folder.
Okay.
They're both bullshit.
Write them down. We studied last night about let this mind be in you that was of Christ. We thought about robbery to be with God. So there's a function here, let this mind.
The only way you can let it is by repenting. You have to see in your death.
Well, you have to see that you put yourself in a position, raised up the evil one, whatever the words are, to stop it, to recognize, and then you let or repent or acquiesce or
die.
Surrender or die. Which
but what people do is say, well, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with this, and I'm dealing with that. We're not dealing with those things any longer. We're dealing with an old life and a new life. And a new life that is guaranteed the way. If you get out of it, it's got an if you get out of the way. Well, one of the things that drives me nuts is when, and people have been doing it ever since I started teaching, is to say, oh, I'm really learning a lot from you.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
That is funny. Well, I've heard that the old man, what is the old man is, what's that phrase?
If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature.
I think of the old man, maybe that literal or parable for the old man is our thoughts and behaviors.
The old man is you.
Right.
Everything that makes you, you.
Right.
A, ideas, opinions, stands, personality, everything. History. There's no more past, there's no more future. Everything is now.
And then now it's always new. There's nothing, you're not comparing the past or measuring against the future. And that's where you just be. Is that right?
And so when you're renewed, you're a new being, and you're only defined by the faith of Him in you, not by anything else.
If you can't make that definition,
right? There's
it's
your. It's why it says it's.
My identity is only
be
faithful.
Be sober, which means it's. The idea, sober is a way of thinking, if that's what that means. And it means there's no more you in your thinking. And your walk is your manner of life. There's no more you in your manner of life. And that's why we exhort one another daily. Because if you see it, then there has to be repentance. Because something has transpired. No, it's not a. It's digital. There's life and there's death. He alone is life. He doesn't give you life. He is life. And that's a hard thing to understand. You, death, He, life. There's no mixing.
If I had a true ultimate baptism. Utter total repentance. Death versus getting wet, then I would have no fruit to bring forth for repentance.
Well, you would, because everything in that's what the purpose of time and space is to see if there's anything that can draw you away from that. But the predicate is always, is it gonna be pain? Is it gonna be suffering? Is it gonna be what people say about you? Is it going to be what you're thinking about somebody else? It's all of those things that are trying to draw you away from your attention, away from only Him. I mean, it's you wouldn't. You're not perfect. You're not perfect when you're baptized, even at that level. Because then, remember what happened even with Christ. Then, right after His baptism, then the evil one, his mind, tested him. So that, but that's the point. You, the evil one has no power except what you give it. Because he's defeated. His papa is gone. Papa.
His daddy.
His daddy is gone. So now all he has are his children.
Well, he's defeated by my faithfulness to my death, which would be my continuous repentance.
Even those kinds of words bring your attention back to you. All right.
No, but I don't say that. I don't say that lightheartedly. obviously my cross bearer.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth. But Christ that liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live only by the faith of the Son of God. Anytime you return to cause and effect, boom, you're back. You've resurrected the evil. Anytime you return to any responding to what you see that isn't generated from faith, that's why everybody thought that the time was going to end in their lifetime, and all the writers. But it's to this faith, this kind of living by faith and faith alone, it's the rarest thing in the universe. But I beg of you, don't justify it in any way if you're not. We've said this 1,000 times, but the only way, if you feel that it's necessary that you do something, that you have to use your mind for some reason, that you have to return to something of the world for some reason, then, God, say, Father, I don't know what else to do. If there's anything else to do, show me. But never rise above the cloud. That's one of the 5 I wills of Satan. He will continue to do it. His children do it all the time.
I hear in what's been said what I say all the time. You know, namely, I want the one-shot solution. I want this thing to be resolved once and for all. You know, never have to go back in and question it again. And I'm brought up, and perhaps wrongly, you know, but I'm brought up by the place where Peter asks, you know, how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Even 7 times? Nay, even 70 times 7. As many as your father forgive you. That tells me that this on-off thing is something I can expect 490 times a day. Well, maybe it, you know, if I at the points where I repent, that 490 may be 489 and 488, but there's no one solution that's going to last the rest of my life, because there's always going to be the evil one in the background trying to find a way to say I again.
And every time he does, that's what you, I mean, that's a whole mystery.
I know. I got it. I mean, I can't do it, but I understand the concept. And
but the thing that he just drives, it's the worst thing. If you justify yourself, if you justify in your own being the use of your mind, then there's a problem. And it's very simple. It's you, Luke 16. You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your heart. That which is highly esteemed or esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Not an abomination, the abomination. And the abomination is the same thing. The evil one is back on the throne.
Now, there's no doubt about that. If Jesus went before Pilate and didn't justify himself, and I do, and there's only 2 in the world, and it's obvious that I'm not Jesus.
So, right. But the idea of justifying yourself, it causes you to be a Pharisee, because you have to always act. Amen.
Justify. Find an excuse. Find a reason. Find a
right.
Think about it.
Because
cogitate on it. I'm working on it. I'll get it done one of these days.
All right, take a big guy.